joining us from the Capitol this morning, Representative Rod Furness. Representative, welcome. Good to have you with us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me. Like we talked about, you got me out of a meeting. I'm happy.
Well, we are thrilled. And you know what? We should offer that as a service to other lawmakers, too. If you need to get out of a meeting, we can schedule an interview for you.
We can be your built-in excuse.
Yes. From now on, I'm scheduling these interviews right during the meeting I don't want to be in.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, size it up for us, Representative. We're midway through the session now, middle of February. How do you think it's gone? Obviously, the budget cuts have been the looming issue, but we'd love your rundown.
You know, it's gone as good as it could. We're fighting to maintain budgets, and I'm in JPAC, and I'm over the Medicaid budgets and also the resources budgets. And we meet every day. We're looking for money to maybe restore some of the programs that have been cut. Maybe I could outline a little bit of what the real problem was. We passed last year House Bill 40, which was a tremendous bill. It included about $450 million of benefits to the Idahoans in the form of taxes. We lowered the tax rate down to 5.3. We gave military pensions tax-free in Idaho now. We increased the grocery tax credit, and we gave some property tax relief in that bill. And then we just didn't know that the big, beautiful bill was coming down the pike. Trump should have called me and said, hey, Rod, we're going to cut another $155 million out of your budget. And he forgot to call me. So next time he needs to call me. But that big, beautiful bill, when we look at tips, when we look at overtime, when we look at car loans, standard deduction went up. Seniors get a $6,000 credit. And then the child tax credit went up as well. Several other things included in that bill. It amounted to almost a $700 million decrease in revenue. Now, I'm a staunch conservative Republican. But when you cut taxes that much, and especially in the big, beautiful bill, we've got to tighten our budget. And I do believe that those revenues will come back. In fact, inside the big, beautiful bill was something called research and exploration. And that allowed companies, corporations, to take their depreciation and take it all in 1 year. And they decided to do that. They took it all in this year. And so what that means is our cash flow from revenues will go down this year, but next year they will come back. And so it's really a revenue or a cash flow problem that we have. And I expect revenues to come back over and above our projections. In fact, if you had a business and you saw your cash flow was going down, but you saw that sales were going to project up in the future, you would take out a line of credit. Well, we have in Idaho a budget stabilization fund that is overfunded. There's $880 million in that fund. And so one of the solutions to this cash flow issue is to maybe take a little bit of money out of that stabilization fund and formulate that for the future. I think that's probably a good idea. Right now we've voted, we've cut 3% out of the budget. And then we voted to take another 1% in 2026 and another 2% in 2027. For a total of 5% budget cuts. In some of those places, we probably cut too deep, and we're trying to restore those areas. We'll probably need the budget stabilization fund to do that. One area is firefighting. In one of the budgets, we cut $150,000 out of a firefighting budget, and that eliminated a whole unit to go out to fires. Some days we'll get three, four, or five fires in 1 day. And these units can stop those fires within 10 acres. But if we let one of those fires go and they burn a lot more than 10 acres, it could be a $60 million hit to Idaho. So we're looking several things like that. Another thing we're trying to restore is in December, health and welfare took a big cut in mental health. They reduced the provider's pay by 4%, and they cut six programs that were essential in mental health. And one of those programs was the ACT program. Have you heard of that program before?
Have not, no.
That ACT program, what they do is they look at the top 400 individuals in the state of Idaho, and they call them, they monitor them. These are probably the worst of the worst that are having trouble. and they make sure they have their meds, their job, and their bed. And we've already seen a real reaction to having cut that program. We actually spent $20 million 10 years ago to get it going, and we've cut that program, but we've seen three suicides from that cut already. So we're looking at trying to restore that, maybe put that back in there.
Representative, I mean, how do you know, and I you know, I don't mean this confrontationally, but how do you know that those suicides would not have happened if that program had been funded?
Well, the director in Idaho Falls, I asked that very same question. And he told me that because they monitor these individuals almost daily, and then they quit, and then what they do is they see their obituary in the paper, they went back and looked at those case notes. And these individuals, if they don't take their meds for 1 week, would be unstable. These are the same individuals that, for example, the guy that killed that lady on the subway in New York, these are the kind of individuals they're monitoring.
Yeah.
And they know that these individuals really well. So I'm just going by what his professional opinion was.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit. You said some of the cuts were a little too deep. You gave us those examples. Appreciate that. Where would you have cut instead? The cuts have to happen. So if they're not so, if those cuts were too deep, where could you have trimmed more in order to accomplish the full 5% over the 2 years?
Yeah, I think that really what's, if you look at the cash flow of the revenue coming in, some of the cuts are unnecessary. And if we use a stabilization fund to take care of those cuts or those projected downturn, then that money will come back in the next few years. So really those cuts, some of those cuts weren't necessary. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't lower government costs. I think this has been a great opportunity for directors to go in and see what they needed to cut. We have some cuts that from public safety, from general government, veteran services that we can talk about, education, you know, cuts, but we are cutting services now. And so I think you're going to see some people not be happy about that, but I'm all for cutting government. We've done a lot to trim those budgets, and we passed them out of the JFAC with the 5% cut for 2027 or 2027. And they'll go to the floor and we'll debate those budgets, but it's a hard look. And we've done a lot in those committees. We've trimmed and trimmed. We've not allowed for, there's only $20 million of enhancements. An enhancement budget will come after the maintenance budgets. And what those are additional asks for the agencies, like if they need a new car or a new computer or replacement items, things like that. And there's only 20 million. We've had years where there's, you know, 200 million in those areas.
We're talking with Representative Rod Furness. Representative, wanted to talk with you about, I mean, obviously the budget is the big thing, and just trying to balance the ledger has been the big challenge this year. But there have been some culture bills. I call them culture bills, like the flag bill for cities. Yesterday, a big debate on House Bill 607, which was about bathrooms and making sure that biological sexes go to the correct bathroom. Help us understand something. I think you ended up voting for that bill. But I know you can't speak for Representative Mickelson, but Julie and I were confused because her floor speech, the questioning that she had of Representative Hill, all seemed to indicate that she was opposed to the bill. Like, she didn't say a single word in favor of it, but in the end, she voted for the bill. Can you explain that, why that happens? Like, what, and maybe you haven't talked to her, maybe you don't understand, but maybe you can shed some light on why that happens, because typically the way you argue is the way you vote. But there have been several bills with Representative Mickelson where she argues against it, but she ends up voting for it.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for Representative Mickelson, and I don't even pretend to understand what she does sometimes. So, you know, I can't go there, but I do understand the vote, and that was a political vote. at the end of the day. And even though she argued about it, and she was right in some aspects that it would affect businesses, but you can imagine politically how that would come down if you said, I don't want to vote, if you didn't vote for that bill, it would be a political hit. And so I think that's what changed her mind about it. I know I called Representative Furman and several others and said, you know, you guys need to vote for this bill. This is a political vote. Sometimes we have to take political votes. And if the bill is 50-50, we'll side to the political vote. And that's what happened in that bill. And I'm positive that's what she thought. She didn't want to take the political hit for saying that she was for she wasn't for bathrooms for men and women. And even though it was maybe a hit on businesses.
So, Representative Furness, I mean, I understand. I actually appreciate your candor here in saying that. But where's the courage of your convictions in all of that?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And if it's a 50-50 vote, we have to look at what side of that we want to be on. And there are votes we take that we stand our ground, and we vote no, regardless of the hit. So, I know I've done that a lot of times.
Neil and I watched probably at least 20 minutes of audio, if not more, from that actual floor debate that happened yesterday before the vote. Can you be a little bit more clear of how you think the wording of Representative Hill's bill is going to cause an issue for a, let's say, a taco restaurant? You go in and there's a bathroom that's labeled as men and a bathroom that's labeled as women. How, if they're doing that, how are they going to be held liable?
Well, one of the worries on that bill were we worried about people gaming the system, you know, going in into a woman going or man going into a woman's bathroom, saying he didn't really realize it, then get a penalty, and then maybe having something else happen there and take it to court. The bill probably needs to be cleaned up just a little bit. I like the bill. I think it's in the right direction. But we have had people go in the wrong bathrooms by mistake, and it addresses that bill a little bit, but probably could go a little further. And I think that was some of the concerns.
Okay. We're talking with Representative Rod Furness. Representative, I wanted to ask you, have you announced your bid for re-election?
I haven't. Can I do that right here? I am running for re-election. This will be my fifth term. Been in the legislature 8 years, and we're just starting to get Idaho on track. Since I've been in office, we've lowered the tax rate from 6.9 down to 5.3%. We've passed multiple good bills, and as long as I can be effective in the legislature, I'm going to keep running.
All right. Well, congratulations on launching the campaign here.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually very flattered. You're skipping committee meetings for us. You're now launching your campaign on our radio show. So, no, we appreciate that. What does the rest of the runway look like for this legislative session, Representative? Who knows quite when it ends? Probably a month from now, maybe 5 weeks from now. What else is there to tackle once you get through the budget issue?
We have put, I've never heard so many bills right across the desk in the last few days as we have now. We've added, I don't know how many bills to our session. We started out really slow. You're going to see that board in the Capitol just light up. I'll bet we'll have 50 bills on there that we'll need to read, take a look at, evaluate. A lot of bills coming down the pike. One of them yesterday was on cloud seeding. And I don't know if you saw that in energy and technology, but we had a cloud seeding bill that came across, and I kind of got a little animated probably, but cloud seeding is one of the things we do in Idaho that we really need. It affects about 10 to 15% of our snowpack. It adds about over 1 million acre feet of water to the Snake River every year. And yet there are some legislators that want to terminate that. And that just can't happen. You'll see a floor fight on that for sure coming from ag.
Okay.
We'll hope that doesn't pass.
Is there concern the environmental impact on humans using those chemicals?
This is not on the silver that we put in for cloud seeding, but there was this the gentleman that brought the bill was concerned about the airplanes flying over the or in the skies and leaving vapor contrails, if you will. He was concerned about those.
Okay. All right, Representative Rod Furness joining us this morning from the Capitol. Representative, thank you for your time. Good to hear from you, and I'm sure we'll be talking with you again as the legislative session and your newly announced political campaign continues.
And I didn't have to go to the meeting, so I'm
And
good.
that too.
Win, win, win.
All right.
Win. Okay.
Whenever you want out of a meeting, you can just throw us under the bus. That's perfectly
I'm
fine.
great for that.
All right.
All right. Thank you.